this podcast series, we're not just trying to change Africa's narrative. We are changing it. Because Africa leads, Africa excels, and Africa inspires. The focus on our continent's poverty, inequality, violence, and lack of development is definitely out of sync. When you compare it to other continents who have the same, but also we hear voices and see images of growth, development of economic and emerging markets, all leading to investment and ultimate self-reliance. So help me welcome guests from Africa and all over the world invested in the rising of Africa. The time for Africa's rising is now. The world has no choice but to let us rise because, as the youngest of all people, we are the future of the world. So, from Africa to the world, this is Yavi Madure.
So, you know, you'll know, obviously coming from the ITC at the level that you operate, you will know that we've got to look at things like a Made in Africa protocol. We've got to look at how that plays out. Currently, a lot of our imports into Africa is from Europe, just because of our history. And unfortunately, it's a negative history from the perspective of colonization. But, you know, psychologically, in terms of that colonization era, you and it's the effects across the world, it's not just from an African perspective, is that the products are seen, products from Europe or the rest of the world, the first world country, so to speak, are seen as superior to African-made products. So before we even get to the point of, you know, made in Africa, start trading amongst each other and doing those kind of things, what would you say to a business or businesses that are in Africa that now want to start taking part? So let's say it's the 1st of January, 2022, which is when we hope to be able to actually kick into gear the AFCFTA, the actual, you know, the actual implementation of the start of trade. What would you say to businesses on the ground around what should they do about getting the perception that their products are valuable into the minds of African consumers, so to speak, without compromising the value of European products? This is not about knocking anyone else's products. It's about how do we just raise the Made in Africa game in the minds of consumers, African consumers themselves?
Well, the first thing is, you know, not to put too much pressure on the CFTA to solve a centuries-old problem. You know, this is going to take some time, but I think that the progress that has been made in the last decade has really been incredible, and it's something that I think we have to celebrate. There really is a renaissance of Africa in terms of African music, in terms of African food, in terms of African textiles, in terms of African innovation. And these are things that have to be harnessed. It's not going to be easy because it's about two things. It's about making sure that you have the proper supply chains and production techniques and trade facilitation within the African continent. Because the most important thing is, do you have the capacity to produce? So that is where the CFTA and the rules and regulations and the technical assistance and the aid for trade, that's where that is going to come in. The second thing is about changing the mindset, i.e. trying to influence the demand. How do we get people, especially the growing middle class, to demand, to want these African products and services? The first thing is about quality. I can't emphasize that enough. Everyone in this world, no matter at what income level they're at, they want what is best for themselves and for their families in terms of safety, health, and compliance. So it's about building quality infrastructure. That means looking into public and private standards and just upgrading the standards facilities within the continent. But then, you know, it is about getting people to understand and be excited about these African products. Huh? And here, you know, we have to use social media. We have to use influencers. We have to show, you know, that people are using these products, that people are liking these products. So we need to use branding and marketing in a way that we probably have not done before in Africa. And I think if you put all those ingredients in place, making sure the production is there, the quality is there, and the demand is there, you're going to see a sea change in terms of people wanting, really wanting to use and experience African products and services and to share that experience with the world.
I'm going to flip things a little bit around and let's look at it from a very real conversation. So we are not unrealistic, you know, or delusional, shall I say, in understanding that, or some of us aren't, in understanding that Africa is not seen as the most trusted. And I'm speaking now just from a continental perspective. Obviously, there's exceptions to the norm, there's exceptions to the rule, so to speak. But like Papua, for example, one of the things that I say to the people at our table, whether it's our, you know, whether it's the staff, whether it's our stakeholders, founders, you know, whoever it is, one of the things that I say to them on a regular basis is it is our job to ensure that the word or the feeling of trust is conveyed from our brand, because the trust in Africa as a brand is not necessarily there. The reasons for it matter not. How we got there doesn't matter. It matters, but not for this conversation. But we now need to get over it, because we have to close the gap of trust. We have to do what it takes, whatever it takes, from a global markets perspective on three different levels to be able to close that gap of trust and to earn the trust of global markets. So, you know, whether that's from a financial perspective, whether that's from a global trade perspective. So His Excellency Paul Kagame speaks about my favorite three words that could possibly be used in the English dictionary together could be trade, not aid, from an African agenda aspect. But as I said, we're not unrealistic about the fact that it's not going to be that easy. We've got to get over the issue of distrust. What would you say? Because we've got to look at it, as I was saying, from three aspects. We've got to look at it in terms of, you were speaking about it now, in terms of the capacity to produce, right? Then it's about being able to have that quality of product and the benchmarks and the compliance and the governance and all of the rules of origin, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then it's about the psychology around wanting to actually buy from Africa or African products. So it's on those three levels that I am very aware. There's obviously more, but just for the purposes of this conversation, let's look at it from those three perspectives. What is it, do you think, and I mean, this is a very kind of loaded question, but it's just purely, you know, a summary question. What is it, do you think, that we need to do as a couple of, in the next couple of years, not to solve all the problems, but just as some of the things that we can do, not governments, but business leaders, organizations like ours, you know, whoever it is that can, because we all need to contribute to this as Africans. How do we start to close that trust deficit so that countries like the rest of the world, in the rest of the world, want to invest in Africa to increase our manufacturing capacity and our infrastructure to deliver on trade, to improve our quality and safety mechanisms, and to be able to actually trade and buy from us? What are the things that you think we need to do in order to close that trust deficit outside of the marketing and branding? Because the marketing and branding will come afterwards. What are some of those things that we need to do as leaders on the continent? Doesn't matter from where the leadership comes from. What are some of those things that we need to do, very honestly?
Well, I mean, I would say the first thing is reliability. And within reliability, I want to look at this issue of trust. And I also want to look at this issue of corruption. Because often I hear or I read people talk about corruption in Africa and singling out Africa for corruption. But I don't like to hear that. Huh? I don't like that narrative. I don't think that that's a healthy modern narrative. Corruption is unfortunately endemic everywhere. Sometimes it's legal corruption, protected corruption. Sometimes it's ignored corruption, and that happens all over the world. So I don't think the narrative about Africa being corrupt or, you know, not having systems that you can trust is such a healthy one. But that said, I think that there are issues of transparency that we need to address. So along with reliability, there needs to be quality of the products and services. And there also needs to be transparency of the procedures to be able to invest, procedures to be able to import and export. That's really, really very important. We need to tackle graft. We need to tackle undue political influence. So these are some of the things I think every country in the world is grappling with. But I believe that these are really critical things if Africa does want to have this sense of rebuilding trust in their institutions. So reliability, quality, and transparency. Now, this whole issue of trade, not aid, I don't 100% agree with that. I believe that trade is critical. I believe aid remains critical, but also investment. Investment is a dimension which is really going to show whether or not the CFTA is going to be successful moving forward. So we need to look at this whole idea of investment partnerships and innovation. Now, automation and digital, I think, can help with some of these transparency and accountability issues that that some African countries have had, especially at the border. So the WTO Trade Facilitation Agreement, for example, includes so many elements of automation that helps to decrease graft and increase transparency. I think it's going to be really important to bridge the knowledge gap. That is where I think the major problem is. I don't think it's that countries or businesses, rather, do not want to invest in Africa. I think a lot of them do not know how to. And, you know, at ITC, we've done surveys of hundreds of thousands of small and medium-sized enterprises all over the world. And the biggest gap that they have is a gap of knowledge, a gap of trade and market intelligence. We want to do this, but we don't know how. We don't know who to go to. We don't know what the procedures are, you know, and we don't know what the steps are. So for me, that is how you bridge this trust gap, by making the information accessible and making the procedures to be able to invest in Africa and trade with Africa transparent. And this is where the WTO discussions on investment facilitation, which are happening right now, are going to be so important, because that's all about transparency of investment facilitation procedures. So I'm really happy to see many African countries are being involved in those discussions and negotiations, because that's going to be a really important element. And here, let me make a bit of a pitch for the ITC. You know, we're talking about data. You know, we have launched something called the Global Trade Help Desk. And that's essentially a one-stop shop where all businesses and policymakers can go and see, you know, what are the licenses, what are the import licenses, what are the rules of origin elements, what are the trade facilitation procedures, who are the BSOs in country. All of that information is there. So if you want to invest in Africa, if you want to trade with Africa, go to this Global Trade Help Desk, and you have all of the different elements that you need there to give you the trade and market intelligence to help you to make informed decisions. So just to recap, reliability, quality, transparency, and bridging the knowledge gap are going to be really important in building trust in trading and investing in Africa moving forward.
We're changing Africa's narrative by showcasing African leadership, African excellence, and African inspiration. There's just so much to talk about under these topics. So join me as we continue the conversation on From Africa to the World.